Time now for Berkeley Electric Cooperative Power Talk, a weekly program to educate and inform the member owners about the co-op. You'll hear tips on saving energy and what Berkeley Electric Co-op means to you. Now let's join our host, Terry Bass, for this week's program.
And good morning, Low Country. It is time for another edition of Berkeley Electric Power Talk. And here I am, and here she is, Terry Bass here, and Libby Roig on the other side of the glass in the Studio B. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks so much for having me again.
Well, glad to always see you. It's been a while, so it's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Happy spring.
Happy spring to you. Yes. Beautiful weather. There's no better season in the Lowcountry than spring.
I have to disagree. I love spring, but I don't like the...
Getting
through to summer is spring. And I'm on the other side of my allergy, so
okay.
I'll agree with you. Yeah. But
we've got the masks we're still wearing, so...
Is that why my allergies weren't as bad?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But that's true. But the warm weather I do like.
Yes.
I must agree.
And the cool mornings, warm afternoons.
Like 58 in the morning,
flowers.
78 to 80.
Mm-hmm.
That is nice.
Yeah.
It is. Now, I do love the fall because of the same thing.
Sure.
But I don't have allergies in the fall.
Speaking of the beautiful weather, we have a friend here who stopped by to tell us some interesting stuff. Jason Trussell, our GIS supervisor, he's on his way to the beach.
Yep. How about that?
Yep, headed to the beach here. You got to take the kids out for spring break, you know, and get them out of the house a little bit. So.
That's right. Good way to close out spring break, trip to the beach, warm weather. And I bet you know how to get to the beach. That's a little teaser to the content of the show.
Yeah,
today.
A little bit what we do has something to do with navigation. Yeah. For sure.
Navigation, and you have a title of the GIS supervisor at Berkeley Electric Cooperative.
That's correct, Terry. Yep.
Now, what is that, sir?
GIS is Geographic Information Systems. It's like a computer-based modeling where you stack layers upon layers and you use it to search, overlay things, use it to do data analytics, different stuff like that.
Okay.
Navigation helps people find things. So it's a lot in everybody's everyday life that, you know, people use that they don't realize that GIS is a part of.
Absolutely. So it's important for people to understand that location, it's important.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
The specific location is important in every aspect of everything.
Exactly.
You know, you can't build a house without specific measurements. You can't even have the wrong size shoes would be very uncomfortable. So your foot measurement is important. You know,
everything is
a measurement. So,
and a good way to think about GIS is spatial data. It's kind of where we basically put things on a map and then we use that data to analyze it. And the more data we have, the more analytic tools that we have to give you or answers to questions that people want. And there's just a lot of things within that data that engineering or marketing or, all our departments use.
Right.
And some people don't realize the power of GIS, and they're finally starting to see that, I need a map for this. Maybe GIS can help me. As long as we have the data for that, we can create a map, or we can give them that data that helps them make those informed decisions.
Well, we're in a military community. Trust me, they would be glad to agree with us the importance of plotting and data like what you're talking about. So before we get deep into it, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us about your background and your role at Berkeley Electric.
Yeah, I graduated in 2004 from the University of South Carolina. So go Gamecocks.
Go Gamecocks, right, Libby?
Yeah.
Say it, Lib.
Yeah, go Gamecocks.
All right.
That was so insincere.
Well, my brother is a Clemson grad, so, you know, it's kind of half and half. But we used to, in college, go back and forth, so whatever.
Yeah. House divided.
It's always nice to beat Clemson no matter what. So,
all right.
But anyway, so yeah, I graduated there in 2004 with a degree in geography with an emphasis in GIS. So a lot of people these days, you know, don't know what GIS is, but it's really just geography. And it's basically kind of a spinoff of geography. So it's kind of a path that you can take when you're in school. So that's kind of the path that I chose. After I graduated in 2004, I worked at a couple other companies that specialize in GPS and GIS and AutoCAD. So I kind of, you know, got my feet wet there. Some of the cool stuff I did, a lot of the cool stuff I did was with a company where we called Gel Geophysics. And basically we went out and we located utilities and stuff like with radar and electromagnetics and things like that. So we'd go out and pinpoint bombs and locate bombs and stuff like that with GPS. And then they would go out and dig them up. And now there's neighborhoods in Myrtle Beach where that's at. So that's some of the cool stuff that we did, you know, with GPS and where I learned a lot about GPS, which is a big part of GIS.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was kind of a cool job before I ended up at Berkeley Electric in 2009. So I started at Berkeley Electric in 2009 as a GIS tech and then became the supervisor in 2016.
All right. Look at there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're live this morning on our broadcast with Jason Trussell, the GIS supervisor. So you just got a little bit of a now the military guys, I felt like they were going to call me a second ago. You said finding bombs and stuff. And he's not going to give away your stuff, Joint Base Charleston. Not really, you know. But once again, emphasizing the value and the importance of a job like GIS, because most people have heard of MIS. Like, oh, yeah, MIS? No, this is GIS.
Correct.
But it's information. Mm-hmm. It's a system.
Yep.
But it's not the same as the computer guys.
Yes, correct. I mean, it's an information system. That, you know, you have data. I mean, just like a lot of things. You know, the more data you have, the more things you can do with it. So
that's right. And so if I ask you the question, what is GIS, even though you've already answered it, mm-hmm. if you had to put that into like one or two sentences, how would you frame that up?
Well, I mean, it's just like basically a computer-based system. For modeling, mapping purposes, allows you to, like I said, overlay things and then analyze it after you're done.
Okay.
Putting all that information in. So, and along with, you know, aerial photography, other things like that. So that's just, you know, one small part of GIS is, you know, those layers. But, you know, like I said, it allows you to kind of, you know, create maps, create visual things, create, like I said, analytics for people to analyze and things like that. So
right, and the average person understands if you say GPS, and that's global
positioning satellite.
Yeah, so you know if you think everything is on a map, so you on the other side though, you're the map side.
Yeah, correct.
So to speak. So,
but we use them hand in hand. So like just you know, you talk about GIS and GPS, like just at the co-op, you know, we'll go out and you know when these new subdivisions are built, we'll go out and GPS that new equipment that's put in to make sure that it's, you know, a correct location on the maps.
Okay.
So down the road, you know, we can locate that stuff. And if somebody needs those coordinates, we can give it to them and they'll know exactly where our equipment's at.
Okay. And I was about to ask the question there, how Berkeley Electric uses GIS. So that's one example. Give me some more. I know you got it in there.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
I know you do. So the functionality of your department, your division, the GIS division within Berkeley Electric Cooperative, that was one example, like new neighborhoods.
Correct.
What are some of the other things you got?
Well, I mean, a lot, like I said, like I've kind of spoke about earlier, is, you know, a lot of the things we do is, you know, we compile that data or we get that data, and it helps people understand, like, complex engineering problems they might have or counting the amount of transformers you have in a neighborhood at this size, or, you know, finding certain things like looking for fuses or looking for different things. So we have, you know, everything mapped out. Everything has its own special number and GPS coordinates on it. So then we can find those things when an issue arises, or at night whenever our linemen are out there and your power's out and they're trying to find the problem. So they can trace, they can physically trace in the field on their phone up line or down line and find the next fuse or device that they need to go to get your power on quicker. Right. So that kind of stuff's really powerful for our linemen to be able to use and to be able to get your power back on quicker. So that kind of stuff, that's kind of where we come in on the reliability side. You know, we want our stuff accurate so they can rely on it out in the field at night, so then we can get the job done or they can get the job done quicker. So
right.
And before GIS, what would the process be for a lineman to locate a problem and get
well,
it prepared?
A lot of the times they had these things called map books, and that was almost before my time. So, you know, and a lot of times they would just go out there with these map books and they would flip through and they'd say, well, it's in this grid. So they use like a grid system and that, how to locate things and stuff like that. They didn't even have tags. So when I started at Berkeley Electric in 2009, they had started the process a year or so before that to GPS the whole system. So we had a company come in and helped us GPS the whole system. And then we have physical tags and everything has coordinates to it now, which is a big undertaking. But it's been great and it allows us to be ahead of the curve and allows us to be able to, you know, search and find things on our phones and things like that. So, yeah, it was much more difficult back then for them to get it and find equipment like that. Now we just push of a button, grab your phone, and you can even do it offline. You don't even have to have a signal. So we got it to the point where it's offline. Where, you know, you think about it, during a storm situation, cell towers can be down, things like that. And it's very important for them to be able to work offline.
That's right.
So that's one of the major things is being able to do it offline.
So I have a question here, sir. And I believe I know the answer, but you're going to tell me. There's so much, I'll say complexity for your purpose and the audience. You know, this guy has a big job. It's an important job, but transformers and power poles. And I'm just guessing that somewhere, because everything has been GIS'd out, if you will, like in a particular neighborhood, a part of the coverage area for Berkeley Electric, you can narrow it down to like specific transformer is on this pole, and somewhere there's an index of all this information in your computer or in your brain.
Correct. That's one of the other. That's GIS for you, right there. You pretty much just said it. So, you know, each layer.
Look at here. I'm coming to work for you.
I tell you what, you're right there. You understand it. So.
When you need a tech, you know.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. No, I mean, it's really, that's kind of what GIS is you have different layers, and within that layer, you have all that data.
Yeah.
So you have the pole number, you have, you know, the XY coordinates, you have all that kind of stuff. So all that data is in there. Like I said, data, that's what GIS is, data. Yeah. You got to have that data to be able to search it, to be able to find it, to be able to analyze it.
And he said XY coordinates. I don't want the job again. Yeah. He was about to give me a headache.
Lat long, but is that better? Yeah.
Well, break. We need a coffee break.
Well, XY is like your state plane coordinates. And then you got lat long, like you see on
so
Google
you would deal with latitude, longitude, and all those
things. State plane is just a different way of looking at our different coordinate system. Wow. So anyway, but maybe you learned something today.
Already. Absolutely. And look, Libby's taking a drink. I hope that's water.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
It's spring break, right?
It's water. Absolutely. We're with Jason Trussell, GIS supervisor. And once again, we work hard, and Libby works harder than I do because she comes up with the subject matter, the content. But this is a show to give you, once again, the BEC member owner, a look into what goes on.
Yeah, behind the line.
Because look at there. We even got a theme for the behind the line this week's edition.
There you go. Behind the line. Well, you know, that's kind of works with kind of what we're talking about. Is, you know, a lot of me and my folks are behind the scenes. Yeah. I couldn't do it without all my GIS techs. They're great. It's like I said, it's, you know, we work behind the scenes. Not very many people see it. But when they want to be able to find something or they want to be able to do something on their phone and look up these maps, it's important to them. You know, they want that to be reliable and accurate. So that's kind of where, you know, my biggest motto is on the reliability side is, hey, you know, let's keep these maps as accurate as possible and updated as possible. So
And when someone, in a practical sense, we're coming up on spring and summer season, thunderstorms, okay, power goes out in a neighborhood, and the line techs and the linemen come out to fix a problem. They're on the phone, they're on radio, whatever, they're talking to someone. Now, that person just wants their power back, but chances are they're talking to somebody in your department, maybe to help them locate something or identify something, or they need assistance to make it get power back faster. GIS is very critical and integral in that process.
Yeah, well, and the great thing about technology and the way we've got our system set up, they don't need to call us very often. They have it in their hands. It's on their cell phones. So we have an app created which allows them to go in and search and find and trace and do certain things like that. So it allows them at their fingertips to have GIS out there and help them do their job more efficiently and find where these potential outages are. So, or potential spots where they can go to turn that outage on quicker. So, hey, oh, there's a fuse down here. Let's get on GIS. Let's look. It shows them there's a fuse. Mm-hmm. There's an open point down here. There's something else. And it'll lead them in the right direction, at least. And if it's at night, you know, sometimes you can't see stuff at night. You get on the phone or type in a number, and it'll take them to that point where the outage starts, and then they can trace it back and forth.
Right. But powers that be, remember, he doesn't really mean that he's not needed anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jason has
but the technology
that
you're working on.
Yeah, all this behind-the-scenes work that is so powerful and important for the linemen to be able to access from their devices to better serve the member. You know, they went from a paper map book and hunting a needle in a haystack to now, you know, they don't even need cell service to access
them. Yeah.
And another great thing about the data, like we're talking about, is if they're out there and for some reason they need to access somebody's property and they need to call the member that it's on, you know, their gates locked, we have that member information in there where they can pull that up and just call them and say, hey, we need in, we need to look at your thing, try to get your power on.
Yep.
So that's some things that they wouldn't have to go back and look on their, or look somewhere else, or call dispatch and say, hey, can you give me these people's phone number or whatever, or help me find this better. They have it at their fingertips, and that's going to save time. And it's all about if you really think about it, I mean, this is coming from me speaking kind of how E&O thinks a lot, but, you know, and everybody, but it's all about members, minute, how long you're out. And the quicker that we can get them that information to get them on, you know, the less minutes they're out. I mean, that's great for us. So we're trying to minimize the amount of member a minute.
Because time is money.
Time is money.
And ultimately, because of the comprehensive work that your division has done and it continues to do, the more you can save on that when there's trouble, when there's a situation. Like you said, time is money. The more money we can prevent from spending, we're saving. So it's money back, once again, to the member owner. So they'll take you out for a cup of coffee now that they know. They didn't even know you existed, but now
we're here now, right?
Oh,
we're
love this guy.
We're on the map. Yes.
Jason, my guy, he's saving me money. So when I get that rebate check or they get the dividends back.
Yeah. Well, I tell you one thing that really kind of, you know, gets me is, you know, thinking about reliability is like, you think about, say, you know, the quicker they find, say, that one fuse, but behind that one fuse or behind this one spot, there might be 60 homes. There might be 70 homes. But you multiply those minutes by every 5 minutes it takes them to find it or get there or whatever. You know, like I said, that compounds and that becomes a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it's not just one member. It's hundreds of members. It's you know, a bunch can be on one feeder or something that's out that they need to find something to get quicker.
So all right, quicker, so. Member owners, he's actually vying for a full meal, not just a cup of coffee. Catered barbecue. Okay, no, but it's important. But you're pointing out the levels that Berkeley Electric goes to and what's available to help the process be as smooth as possible.
That's correct.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, from the member side, we know if you're sitting there in the dark or, you know, in the wintertime if it's cold, every minute that passes feels like forever. And so we're just feverishly working to get the lights back on and and knowing that when you don't have power, it feels like much longer.
it absolutely does. It's funny how slow things get.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. But once again, we're with Jason Trussell, GIS supervisor. Now, Jason, I want to ask you about a little bit of internal dynamics with GIS, because we're talking about the things the customers didn't know were happening in the background that make their power experience better. But within the company, are there things that GIS does department to department to make the work day much smoother for the Libbies of the world?
Like I said, it's nonstop. I mean, like I said, with, you know, the growth and stuff that we have, everybody's after information and data. You know, so we have, you know, obviously the app suite is the product that we use as the app out in the field for a lot of folks. And, you know, a lot of internal folks use that too. But then we got, you know, MapWise, which is a program we use for our staking and GIS. That's where like work orders start or created by our staking department. Then my folks end up updating maps and things like that. for connectivity and whatnot, which that in turn helps out OMS, which they need, you know, the correct connectivity and switching and things like that. We got a map viewer. It's an internal resource provided by NISC, but it has GIS and allows them to go in and search and find and do anything that we do, but kind of at a more, I guess you say it as a, how do you say it, a much more user-friendly scale for people internally to do. And then, yeah, I mean, we're constantly creating maps for people to make decisions like, you know, board districts, service territories, things like that are constantly changing, you know. And then also we do incorporate county data. So I grab the county data from the other counties and incorporate that into our stuff so they don't have to go to the county websites.
Right.
So it's all, and data sharing's gotten a lot better. So we're sharing data with a lot more organizations and getting more data in. Mm-hmm. For our folks to make informed decisions. We work a lot with right of way, things like that. They use it for, you know, stuff even to think about. A lot of people wouldn't think about this, but, you know, if you're in the national forest and you're trying to build a new line and you got these endangered woodpeckers, and I get that data from the South Carolina Natural Resources and I put it on our stuff, and then they can turn that layer on and make an informed decision not to build a power line through there, you know, and stuff like that. Just little things that people don't think of that GIS gives you that ability to do, but that's internal stuff that they're using that kind of stuff for.
Right. You have GIS in my brain right here, because it's like everywhere I'm going to go, you're like, before I go there, you go there.
Well, I've been doing it for 20 years, so, you know, I'm kind of, you know, but I can brainwash you a little bit, you know.
But to someone that's trying to grasp what we're talking about, and I think they're getting it, but to even maybe make it even clearer to them, you may have seen this in your yard. Let's say there's going to be work done by a particular, it could be one of many utilities, or you know, you might see somebody come out and paint orange lines or blue lines, or, you know, because you got all kinds of things running through your yard, under the street, everywhere. Do you guys have to incorporate all of that information into your system?
Well, I mean, we do have a system with SC811, which is kind of like call before you dig, and we do work hand in hand with them and share data.
Okay,
so they have that information to provide out to all the other folks that do marking and things like that. So, it's all kind of blends in, and it's kind of like a data sharing. But that's stuff that we want to share with people so people aren't digging into our lines at their house and things like that. So that's actually a really big deal, and it costs people and us lots of money when people dig through our lines. Mm-hmm. And it's not just ours. We're talking water, sewer, gas, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It costs lots of money to fix those things. And that's another reason why GIS is important, and GPS is to have those correct locations and people can see that and mark that stuff out.
Yeah.
I mean, actually kind of comes back around to what I said one of my other jobs was. That's what I did. We went out and marked that stuff out so people wouldn't hit it. And then even the non-conductive stuff, we would go out with radar and find the, like, pipes with the radar and mark those out so people wouldn't dig that kind of stuff up. So that kind of stuff's very important. To I think any organization that, you know, nobody wants that kind of, you don't want to cut into a huge fiber. I mean, nobody can go without internet these days. So, I mean,
well,
especially power, you know.
It's amazing that you bring that up. I worked at an organization one time where somebody didn't follow a plan and they cut the fiber to our entire operation. And that's how we were able to broadcast. We went under a street in a part of North Charleston, and you're talking about all the radio stations went off the air for hours because our fiber feed to our link was cut by somebody who didn't pay attention.
They didn't call before they dug.
They did not. You're right.
That's the 811.
And they were dug right out of probably their organization, whoever it was. Thankfully, it wasn't. It impacted us, but they made a grave error. That fiber.
That's why it's definitely it's definitely something good to remember. 811 if you're before you dig. So
And man, this has been good conversation. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Time flies. So you'll be at the beach in seconds. I told you. But are there governing principles as it relates to how your job function is?
Yeah, I mean, I would say pretty much, you know, in general, you know, the ESRI is basically kind of, I wouldn't say the governing, but they're basically one of the leading software providers of GIS. And, you know, there's a lot of standards out there that we kind of go by
right.
with what everybody uses in that industry, you know, with ESRI, along with, you know, the electric industry too. But
GIS definitely helps the cooperative with those principles. Correct, for sure.
And you know, with education and training, you know, local schools we try to get into to help bring awareness of GIS, and that's one of the principles. And there's a lot of careers out there for folks in GIS, not just in GIS, but other geography careers too.
Yeah,
and I've tried to get out in the schools and talk about that, because it's really good just to educate kids that it's out there. I didn't know about it, you know, until me and my mom spoke, and she was like, you know, you kind of like maps and things like that. How about geography? You know, I was like, I didn't think about that, because I was a business major at first.
Okay.
And then I kind of switched. But, you know, the biggest thing for me in making that decision is, you know, somebody talking about it and what is this? What is it?
Right.
So you go at an elementary level to these schools and speak to these kids, and all these kids use this stuff, and they're going to use it more than I ever did.
That's
because
right.
of technology. Which is good to talk to, you know, about maps and things like that, and how do you get places and things. Mm-hmm. So GIS is, you know, right before their fingertips on their phones, and they don't even know it.
And even on a video game, there's so much positioning.
Mm-hmm.
To have success in, you know, especially all these, I don't talk about the types of games, but you got to hit a mark. You got to be here or mm-hmm. there, and you know, you're working in strategies. So a lot of those things are sort of in the principles of GIS.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
You know, now, quickly, the education that you need to get into your field. What would you need? Let's say at the college level, or is there a technical college level? What do you do?
I would say, I mean, most tech positions, I would say, you know, with a 2-year associate, you could get into some GIS or get mm-hmm. into some entry level stuff.
Okay.
A lot of times after the tech, you have an analyst. And that's probably like a 4-year degree, along with a supervisor, kind of like with me. I'd say along with 5 to 10 years experience, something like that. So to get into it. But like I said, you know, some of these schools are trying to get it in their curriculum now. And that's what I've been working with some in Berkeley County and some other areas. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get into schools. Obviously, with COVID, that's kind of some of them talks kind of stopped a little bit. But mm-hmm. There's a program that we're a part of. Through the AAG, which is American Associations of Geography, that's what I'm in.
Okay.
And it's called Geo Mentors. Oh. And so what you do is they're like a mentor to these kids, and you go in these schools and you speak and talk to them about GIS. And it allows me to get credit to eventually go towards my GISP, which is my professionals in GIS, which I'm working towards.
All right.
I just got to go take a test, but anyway, so and study a little bit more. But anyway,
I got a stamper right here.
I think it's important to get out there and talk to them and get it in the curriculum.
Yes,
because all you got to do is roll a little bit of it into the geography curriculum and just throw some GIS in there and let them know it's out there. And some of these teachers I've talked to are just thrilled. You know, they want to get into it because. I mean, you just think how much kids use this stuff these days already.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's definitely in the STEM field.
Correct.
It's directly in there. Mm-hmm. Well, man, time flies when you're GISing.
Tell you what,
it's time to go.
It keeps you busy.
Yeah, it is. But this has been great conversation. And now our Berkeley Electric member owner knows a little bit more than they did.
But can I say one more thing? I don't know if anybody knows about it, but there's something called GIS Day. So at Berkeley Electric, we've tried this last year to kind of promote it a little bit, and we're going to try to promote it more and more every year.
Okay.
But it's usually in November, so this year it's November 17th. All but just look for it out there. And ESRI is the leading software provider. They kind of help provide a lot of content.
Okay.
But I tell you, it's a great day to go out and educate people and show them the power of GIS. So if everybody just could keep their eyes peeled for that date, and maybe they'll learn a little bit something about GIS.
And it sounds like a great time for a follow-up.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, look, Jason, he's going to get that cup of coffee, see? GIS Day. But Jason Trussell, once again, thank you for being here with us. This has been a good conversation, and this wraps up another edition of Berkeley Electric Power Talk. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.